Amen. Thank you for singing that song. And by the way, that's the greatest song in the world. The truest song you could ever sing. I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ. I can e'er depend. You can depend on, can't depend on anybody else but Jesus. You know that? Even your best friends will let you down. And I'll just give a little brief report of that song, background of that song. Right before I retired, I wanted the Lord to send revival. This was a number of years ago now, to our church, and I thought we'd see people saved and the presence of the Lord show up around here, people maybe praising the Lord, and people getting things right with God, and revival, anointed preaching, singing, all like that goes along with revival. That's why we need revival in our churches. That's what revival do. But you know, I wanted to see it here at this church. I had visions of this church out, but you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. I'm glad he does. You know what he did? He sent prostate cancer to me. And that floored me. Well, to make a long story short, and most of you have heard this before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's my testimony. When I would come across in front of Tennessee Eastman, headed to the cancer center at Holston Valley, when I got to the, what's that, 36 Highway 30, I believe it is, or whatever it is, and I'd turn that song on, I have a precious friend, Jesus Christ, my Lord. I can e'er depend on his precious word. When the clouds hang low or the skies are fair, I'm safe, I know, for my Lord is there. And every day I wanted the Lord to send revival at this church. But you know what? He sent me revival. Every day, 5 weeks, three radiations a day. 5 weeks, 75, and every day I didn't care what happened to me. You know, when you got the Lord with you, you don't care. You just want to please him and do right. And every day, I didn't care what they did to him. They could cut my head off. It wouldn't matter. And I went in there, and those radiations, sometimes people, it's hard on them, but it didn't bother me more to drink a Pepsi Cola did. And the Lord met me every day. I didn't deserve it. But he wanted to show me he could take care of me. Now, I don't ever want cancer again, but I'm glad the Lord sent cancer. And I had a 5 week revival between 36 and going into that cancer center. And folks, we depend on the Lord to help us. Well, I better get to preaching here. But we could go home right now, as far as I'm concerned. That's amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for the presence of the Lord every now and then? Well, I'm going to try to preach. I don't know where I can preach after all that or not, but I'm going to try. Well, I appreciate the privilege of preaching the gospel for 66 years. And it's been my privilege. It's been my privilege. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. I don't care what he calls you to do. Do it, and he'll bless you. And he's been good to me, better than I deserve. I'm just an old sinner saved by the grace of God. That's all I am. That's all you are too if you're saved. Or you're a sinner that's never been born again, saved by the grace of God. And you can take care of that this morning. If you will, you'll never regret it. And God will. But I'm giving an invitation for a start to preach. I mean, if you come get in this altar and cry out to God for mercy, to save your never dying soul, you'll walk out of here on your way to heaven this morning. If the Holy Spirit's speaking, you gotta get God in the mix. See, to get born again, let me get on with message. Turn to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Now, I've preached every main passage and every main part of the Word of God. So this is what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. You've heard it, some of you have, but you're gonna get some leftovers this morning because it's what the Lord wants me to preach. Isaiah 6. How many have your King James Version with you today? Hold it. Wave it at the devil. The devil don't like that book. You know it? Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, you know what they're saying over, you know what the seraphims and cherubims are saying around the throne of God? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. This is a holy book. We serve a holy Savior and a holy God. And we ought to be holy. I'm going to preach that in a minute. So I'm getting a little preaching in before I get there. So don't let anybody out till I get through preaching today. Holy, holy, holy is Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me. When you get a vision of the Lord, here's what will happen to you. Woe is me. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege, Lord, one more time of standing behind the Word of God and preaching. And another time, Lord, here at Buffalo Ridge. God bless today, and pray for Brother Jody as he preaches down in Florida. Give him a good revival, and bless us here. And Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, we'd consider it an honor if you'd just speak to our hearts today. Would you do it? Have your way in this service, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if I can settle down, I'm going to preach a little bit to you. But there are chapters in God's Word that are considered spiritual mountain peaks. Genesis 3 is the fall of man. Adam sinned and corrupted the human race with a fallen nature. In Genesis 3. In Genesis 12, the call of Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. He called him out. Didn't tell him where he's going. Abraham obeyed. And Genesis 32, Jacob wrestled with God. What a chapter that is. Exodus 12, the Passover. I can't stop and preach a little bit on each one of these. We'll be here until supper time. But in Exodus 12, the Passover, where the death angel came through, those under the blood, not under the blood, the firstborn died in each family. You need to get under the blood. There's safety under the blood. I can't stop preaching on all these. But then there's a shepherd psalm, 23. That's a highlight in the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. Good to be able to say that. The Lord is not a shepherd. He's my shepherd. It's a big difference. And then Isaiah 53, the great chapter, the suffering servant. It's a prophecy of almost everything Christ suffered on the cross when he came. And then Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, great peak, spiritual peak in the Word of God. And there it describes the return of the Lord. And a lot of the events related to the return of the Lord. And I believe it's soon. I don't know, but I believe it is. And then the Olivet Discourse, well, I've said that. And then John 3 is a great chapter where Jesus said, you must be born again. As the old timers used to say, you got to be born again. Now, they had their words wrong, but their theology was right. You got to be born again. If Jesus said, if you're not born again, you'd never get into heaven. And only the new birth will change your life. Okay, let me move on. Pentecost, chapter 2 of Acts, was the day of the Holy Spirit came. This is a dispensation of the Holy Ghost today. 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, and Hebrews 11, the great faith, the great, but as we, there are many other chapters in the Word of God that takes us to great heights spiritually, but one of the most memorable and uplifting mountain peaks in the Word of God is Isaiah 6. It's a blessing every time we read, where the prophet had a life-changing and a soul-stirring rendezvous with the Lord God of heaven. He eavesdropped in on the glory world. What an experience that was. And saw the Lord in all of his glory. And he saw the seraphims flying around in heaven saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." When he saw that vision, he got a vision of himself. "I'm no good." You know, when we see the Lord, we realize how helpless and hopeless we are without him. And he said, "Woe is me." And when he said that, he received a healing touch from the Lord. Alive, one of the seraphims took a tongue and a live coal off the altar, and he laid it on his mouth, and his sin was purged. That's what we need, the blood of Jesus Christ, when you receive him in your heart and life. That's what happens. You, and your sin, as far as God's record is concerned, it's purged. And this morning, I better see what time it is here. I'll let you get you out here sometime before supper time. So, but anyway, I want you to notice especially what the Lord heard in verse 8. What Isaiah heard in verse 8. He said, "I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" I want to point out three things about that verse. First of all, he heard the voice of the Lord. God spoke to his heart and soul. Oh, if God's ever spoken to your heart and soul, you're blessed when the God speaks. And it's a wonderful thing that God, and for Isaiah, that God in his mercy spoke to his heart. And the greatest thing that ever happened to you is for God in his love and mercy to speak to your heart. You know, it's a terrible thing. Some people act like the Lord just never was a million miles away. The Lord has never spoken to them. And I'm glad as a 13-year-old boy, God spoke to my heart. And I believe it's the first time that I recall. It's been a long time since I was a 13-year-old boy, but I believe it's the first time God ever spoke to me, that he called me to himself. I didn't go to the revival that night to get saved. I wasn't thinking about getting saved. But God had his appointment to save me that night. Now, I'm not a Calvinist, but I believe that was God's time for me to get saved. He called me. I didn't go looking for him. He come looking for me, it seems like. But anyway, I was a 13-year-old boy and came that night. And I've had two births. I was born 6/14/32. And don't add it up right quick. You find out how old I am, but I don't care. My wife don't ever want me to tell that I've said that before, but that's okay. I'm glad the Lord's been good to me. But I had a spiritual birthday. I'm glad I had a spiritual birthday. And on July the 15th, 1945, in a revival meeting. You know, we folks, great revivals have built this country and our churches. And we need to pray that God will speak and we'll start having revival. That's the only hope for us. Our churches and the country are gone if we don't have revival. But anyway, God speaks to the human heart in many ways. In the Old Testament, you know, he spoke through dreams and visions, or he would send a prophet. And in the church age, God speaks differently. Now, he can use dreams and visions and fleeces and all like that anytime he wants to. But I believe he speaks today through three main ways. First of all, he speaks through the right there. You know, you say, "Well, I wish God to speak to me." Hey, he's already spoken to you. Right here. This is what God says right here. God's spoken into the Word of God. And we have, you know, we have really have something better than visions and fleeces and dreams and all that. We have something better. We have the infallible, perfect Word of God. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? Psalmist 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. You get in the word and you'll start having light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You say, well, preacher, I don't have much education. I'm not too bright. Well, listen, get in the word of God and the Holy Spirit through the word of God will give you some understanding. And that's what it says. He gives understanding to the simple. So just get in the word of God. Then Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the word of God is. And folks, if you'll get born again, because you need the Holy Spirit in your life to help you to understand the word of God. If you get born again and you read this old book every day of your life, and come to church regularly, and for the preaching and teaching the word of God, you know that God will speak to your heart along the way, every now and then. Isn't that good when the preacher or maybe a singer sing of something, spiritual truth, or somebody witnesses, and God uses the word of God in your heart and life. Now, just read the word of God. Get born again, read the word of God. Come to church, preaching, and you know, God will speak to you. God will speak to you. Then second, in the church age, he speaks first, I mentioned, the Word of God, and then through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. When Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad he's come? The Holy Spirit has come. And he's in the world to call out a bride for Jesus. And he's calling around the world. The Holy Spirit is calling. You know, you can't get saved till the Holy Spirit calls you. Now you can... unless the Spirit moves over you, you'll never get out of your sin. And you open your heart, and when the Holy Spirit, and you receive him into your heart, become a new person in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 3:7-8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Then after we get saved, the Holy Spirit will lead us. After we get saved, he'll lead us. I'm glad every now and then he leads me. And he leads you if you're his child, if you look to him. And then he'll prompt us to pray every now and then, the Holy Spirit. So we need the blessed Holy Spirit. And third, he today in this dispensation, God leads through circumstances. Through circumstance. Now, I won't go back on this song, but when God sent prostate cancer to me, he used that song right there every day, every day. Use that, and I wouldn't take anything for that experience. Every day, I felt the presence of the Lord. Every day. Sometimes I'll go a long time without the presence of the Lord. But then when I get to seek in his presence, you know, if you just seek with the whole heart, you'll find him. Well, anyway, I've got off my message there, and let's see if I can get back where. But he uses circumstances. He uses the Word of God and uses the Holy Spirit. And he speaks through circumstances. And the providential dealing of God with man through trials and trouble. That trial and trouble you're facing right now, you're maybe God trying to get through to you. Do you know that? And he shows us a lot of times how much we need to get right. And we don't get right with God until some troubles and trials come. Then we look to the Lord. I remember when I first got here, this is years ago, but there's a couple over in Ford Town or Colonial Heights, somewhere over there. They would take on Sunday, they were professing Christians, a member of a Baptist church, I forget which one it is. And on Sunday, they'd go out camping over on the lake instead of church. And one day, while their little tour through, I think what the little child was, it wandered away from mom and daddy, wandered down to the water, and was drowned. It's drowned. And it broke the heart of that young couple. But you know what they said? It took the death of my child, our child, to get us back in church and get us to living for the Lord. Sometimes God uses circumstances like that. The psalmist said, one in 119, 67, before I was afflicted, See, God's gracious sometimes in sending things in your life. But the psalmist said, but before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Things like that will get you back to follow the Lord and stay living close to him. And many people would never get saved, never obey God, if the Lord didn't permit a severe trial to come along their pathway. That's what happened here to Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, he lost his good friend. And in his grief, he looked to the Lord of heaven and got a life-changing glimpse of him in his power and glory. So first of all, let me see where I am. I've got a clock right in front of me right here too. Okay, the second thing he heard, first he heard the voice of God, then he heard the call of God. Not only did the Lord get Isaiah's attention so he'd listen to his voice, but the Lord issued him a call. Oh, it's a wonderful thing when God gives us a call, isn't it? And the call, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I'm glad God still calls today. If we'll listen, he'll call today. And I think his call to us today is mainly threefold. First of all, his first call is for salvation. Revelation 3:20, the Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I believe that's Jesus knocking at the heart's door. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me. Now, salvation is not giving mental asset to the truths of God's word. The devils believe and tremble, not saved. But it's receiving Christ as the Holy Spirit moves upon us and tells us we ought to open our heart to Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit, when we open our heart, then he comes in. And we're saved. That's what real salvation is. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, just come on if you're not saved today. Whosoever will, you can get in on this, and you can take the water of life. Christ is the water of life. And throughout the Word of God, we see a holy, aren't you glad God's reaching out to sinful man today saying, come. Aren't you glad of that? Come, for all things are now ready. All things are ready. If you just come on to Jesus. Come in me all. You've got problems today. Who doesn't have problems? Everybody has them. And Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what will he do for you? What will he give us? Give us rest on him. He'll help us. He'll help us. And I'm glad for the come of salvation. Then second, there's Baptists don't like this, but I've preached this ever since I've been in Gray, and I'm going to preach it till I go to the grave. God's call is for separation. Don't throw any songbooks at me, but you know I'm right. After salvation, then the call comes to us to live a holy, godly. Has everybody, wake anybody up, wake them up. I want them to hear this. God's called us is to live a holy, godly, separated life. Yeah, amen, preacher Lashley. I'll just say amen. Look at verse 3 there again. The seraphim, one cried to another and said, what did he say about God? He's a holy God. Holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord God of hosts. And God said, you know what, for his children, you know what he wants you to do? Be ye holy. Why? Because I am holy. Because I am holy. So we ought to, now you say, preacher, are you holy? No, but I'm trying to be. I fail a lot, but I'm trying to be holy. And that God sees that if you're trying. And Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And here's what the Lord was trying to do with his people today. He's trying to purify unto himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. Now, I've told this before at this church. You've heard me tell it before. But I remember when I was playing football down in Mississippi, before I was still already, God called me to preach before I got out of high school, but I was shy and bashful. I didn't think I could do it. Now, in junior year there, we played Memphis State, and it was a rivalry, strong rivalry, two of the teams, and it was an offensive battle up and down the field all night. We run, and I was wore out and beat up, knocked down, and After the game, we won 35-28 or something like that. I didn't look it up, but something like we won anyway. And after the game, I took a shower, and I was wore out. And I walked out of that dressing room, went down to the sidewalk. And if I'd turn right, it'd take me up to an empty dormitory. But everybody was going down to the field house for the homecoming dance. And when I got there, I was sort of inclined to go. A lot of my friends or buddies on the football team, going, most of them going down there. And I sort of wanted to go down there just to be around them. Maybe get something to eat or something like that. But the Lord's impressed. I believe it was the Lord. I was already his child. And the Lord impressed me. Don't go down there, and I'll make it up to you. I felt like that, and I believe the Lord said. And I turned right and went to sleep in the other lady dormitory, and not. I was there just about by myself. And if I'd have gone down to that homecoming dance, I may have started on a worldly lifestyle, and I would not be up here preaching to you this morning. So, I believe that God wants us to live a holy life. And God is calling us to a holy, godly, separated life after you get saved. And preacher, why do we need to live holy? None of us perfect, but y'all try to be. But in order to have, to have blessed fellowship with the Lord, you've got to live a holy life. And then, two, you want the presence of the Lord in your life? He's a holy God. He's not going to camp out too much around us if we're not separated and trying to be a holy person. So we need to, if we want to bless, and by the way, if you're a servant of the Lord and you want God to bless what you're doing, live a holy life. And God, I'll guarantee you, God will bless you. I'll guarantee you he'll bless you. He'll bless his children who goes out and out for him. Then third, I persecuted you enough on that. I'm just about through. I have three more pages here. I'm going to hurry. I'm going to hurry this thing up, though. But I felt liberty preaching this morning. And third, God's call is to salvation. You need to get born again and to salvation and then to separation. And then after you get those two things taken care of, God called us to serve him. He wants us to serve him. Isaiah's call was for service. He's calling men, women, boys, and girls 2,700 years today. Since then, he's calling people to serve him today. And you will never, now listen, you might be saved and born again, but you'll never amount to a hill of a mean spiritually till you get busy for him. Till you get busy for him. And God will bless you if you'll just start trying to find out what he wants you to do. You know, people come to church. And listen, if you're new here, the best way for you to bond at a church is get busy doing something. And you'll meet people, make friends among the people in the church. So get busy. And when you get active in the church, and the church will mean more to you. So the call is going out this morning for everyone from the, you're not, listen, I'm preaching to you up in the balcony too now. The call is going out today. For all of us that's saved to serve the Lord, and folks don't waste your life just on pleasure and sports. Now I still like sports, even though I got out to preach sports and went to preaching, but I still love sports and nothing wrong. Don't make a god out of good time or making money or things of no eternal value. Only what you do for Christ will count for all eternity. Somebody say amen right there. Now, let me ask you this question. I've got to move on. My wife's got, I know what she got to eat down there, and I'm a chow hound, You hurry home after I get through, honey. I'm on my way. But now, before my wife interrupted me, let me see where I was in my notes. Well, anyway, before my wife interrupted me, I've talked about only what you do for Christ will count out there in eternity. Now, I was going to say this. Now, if I'm finally found out where I am. We need around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church right now. There's always need for workers. We need Sunday school teachers right now. And so, yeah, listen, if you'd get involved in teaching in a Sunday school class, God will bless you. God will bless you. And we need a bus captain right now. Some of you that love the Lord, I hope you feel called to go take that bus route. What a great privilege. Brother Jack first came, he and his family came to this church. He rode the bus to Buffalo Ridge. Brother Jack, God bless you. And what a blessing he's been. Bus captain, bus director, and we're glad. And you know, you go out and after people, you get some not so good sometimes, but sometimes you'll get some good people in here. So we need to go out after them. And there are many of you who could serve the Lord in this church. And God will bless you if you'll get to serving Him. When we see the Lord, folks, I'll guarantee you, teachers, when you see the Lord, you won't regret what you've done for the Lord. Bus captains, my hat goes off to you. If I had a hat, I left my hat at home. You left, supposed to have one. But bus captains, what a great privilege it is to be a bus captain. Or just a servant of the Lord. What a privilege. And when we see the Lord, we won't regret the time we spent serving the Lord. Get busy serving the Lord. I've been at this thing since I surrendered to preach for 65, going on 65 years. Oh, I'm so thankful that I've been serving the Lord. I'm not serving the Lord to get to heaven. I'm just serving because I have saved and want to please the Lord. That's why you ought to get busy serving the Lord, just to please Him. He wants you to be His servant. Then, the third thing is the response that Isaiah had to the call of God, of the Lord. He didn't waffle. He didn't hem and haw, offer excuses why he couldn't respond. Lord, I don't have any education, and I don't have much of a personality. I don't have enough money, and too many irons in the fire. Would have to give up too much. No, he didn't offer excuses. And, you know, I used to hear this crazy excuse. Preacher, I can't come right now. I got too many ducks on the pond. But when I take care of these ducks on the pond, I'll be there. I haven't heard that in a long time. I told one man one time, why don't you shoot those crazy ducks and come on to the church? Listen, if God's called you to do anything, He will provide opportunity and ability, and He'll provide whatever's needed. He'll make you able to do His will. He's not going to call you to do something and not help you. Willard Tomlin built one of the greatest churches in this country up there in Bristol. When he got saved and when he got called, he couldn't even read and write. After he started preaching, he learned to read and write. And he's had more sense than any preacher I've ever run into in my life. God gave him the Holy Ghost wisdom. So God will give you the wisdom, and He'll help you if you'll get busy for the Lord. Now I'm trying to wind up here. But notice the response of Isaiah in verse 8. Look at verse 8 again. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Three things about this, about his response. It was a personal response. He didn't say, Lord, send my brother or neighbor or someone more qualified. Here am I, send me. You ought to tell the Lord, Lord, I will be a Sunday school teacher. I don't know how. You'd have to help me, or a bus captain, or something else. And God can use everyone, every saved person in this auditorium. And if you just get busy before He can use you. And second is an immediate response. He didn't think about it and analyze and check out the success prospects. He knew it was the Lord's calling. And he responded immediately. Somebody this morning ought to take that bus they've got right now, a bus. A good route. You can just jump right in there. Is Willie back? Where's Willie? He ought to take that bus route. I'm not saying the Lord's in that. It just comes to my mind. But he ought to be. We might have another Leroy on a bus route. Yeah, tell him, Preacher Lashley, I'm going to pray about that for him. I don't know what he's going to do. But anyway, it was an immediate response. He knew it was the Lord's calling and responded. And then it was an unconditional response. He didn't say, Lord, if you do this, Lord, if you do that. And Isaiah had put, without any strings attached, said, here am I, send me. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is, I'm reporting for duty. Now I'm talking about the call of God this morning. But there is a great danger present when God speaks to the human heart. And that's this. Now listen to me. If you tune out everything, don't tune this out. If God speaks and we will not hear and obey the call of God, that, listen, folks, there's a possibility God may never call you again. He may never call you again. How awful it would be if God is speaking to you this morning, there's a danger of delay. I know a man and his wife in my home church down there years ago, he'd get up and his wife would sing and we'd have revival. When he and his wife would sing, people get saved, come to the altar and get saved while they're singing. And he got in a, somebody made him mad and he left the church. And you know, God never used him anymore as far as I know the rest of his life. Folks, listen. If God's speaking to you, there's danger in delay. And if God's calling you to serve him in some capacity, won't you, I'm going to fix an invitation in just a few minutes, just come to this altar and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord. I don't know what it is. If you'll tell me what it is, I'll do it. God will bless you and hear. Listen, you dads and moms, God will bless your family if you'll get servant. And see, I see Brother Jack, many of you, but he got the servant. He's had his children here, and they served the Lord and had them here every time the door opens, and God blessed his family. And God, listen, you moms and dads, the greatest thing you can do is get saved and get in church and get to serving the Lord. And teach your children to serve the Lord. But listen, there's a danger in delay. There's a danger that if you don't respond to the call of God, that Lord may bypass you and just put you on the shelf and never use you anymore this side of eternity. I don't want to be put on. I'm getting on up in years, but I don't want to be put on the shelf. I want to just keep preaching. I can get up and preach a little bit. I don't have the energy I used to have, but I can still give a devil a fit. And these backslidden Baptists a fit every now and then. I mean, I don't want to be put on the shelf. Now listen, if you're unsaved, my heart goes out to you. You don't, if you die, if your heart quit beating in your chest right now, you would miss heaven. Be apart from God for all eternity. I wouldn't go on another day. I'd come down here this morning, get on my knees, and I'd stay there. And I'd cry out to God for mercy to come in my heart and save me. And I'm not going to leave here till I get saved. You can be saved today if you'll be that sincere. And if you're unsaved and God's speaking to you, I don't know, maybe everybody's saved. I'd say there's some here not saved. The Lord loves you. And I love you and we love you at the church. But if you're unsaved and God's speaking to you, you ought to come down to this altar. Let some man or some woman take a Bible and tell you that Christ loves you. Just open your heart and he'll come in and save you. Leave here on your way to heaven. And that'd be wonderful. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord where the call of the Spirit is lost. As you hurry along with a pleasure-mad throng, have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Even though you gain the whole world as your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted? Have you counted the cross? Let's bow our heads for prayer. I hope the Lord, I've tried. This is what I believe the Lord wanted me to speak on this morning. And a lot of people done a lot better, but I did the best I could. And I love you. My heart goes out to you if you're a Christian and not busy about the Lord's work. Maybe you need to come get in this altar and say, Lord, if you'll tell me what to do, I'll do it. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. Lord, let him tell you. Or if you're here and say, preacher, I'd like to know that I'm saved. I'd like to know Jesus and have assurance if my heart quits beating in my chest cavity that I'd go to heaven. Absent the body, present the Lord for child. Wouldn't you get like to have it? Don't let. Now this morning, if God's speaking to you about anything, about serving the Lord, or if he's speaking to you about being saved, I'd like to pray for you right now. Now I'm not going to come to you. I want the whole, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, I want you to obey the Holy Spirit. But you'll say, Preacher Lashley, I'm a Christian, or maybe you're not sure you're saved. Whatever it is, you're not saved. But God spoke to my heart this morning, and just pray for me. Now, I'm not going to come to you, but I'd like to pray for you. Just raise your hand right now if God's spoken to your heart. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God, in the balcony, just raise your hand if God's speaking to your heart. Now, let me ask you this. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to come to you, but when the invitation's given, won't you come and get on your knees there and let some lady or some man pray with you about turning your life over to the Lord and serving the Lord or getting saved? Wouldn't it be wonderful for somebody to get born again, saved in this? If you're not sure you're saved, we'll help you. We'll help you this morning when the invitation's given. Just come on down. God loves you. We love you. We want to help you. We're not trying to hurt you. We want to help you. The Lord loves you. He's calling you. Don't say no to the call of God. Father, I've tried to preach what you want me to preach. Lord, I thank you for the way that you've helped me, Lord, down through life. I don't deserve it, but Lord, you've been good to me. And many people could stand and say the same thing that's saved. And I pray for these Christians that, Lord, you're dealing with them. I know, Lord, you blessed me when I surrendered to preach, and you'll bless anybody that surrenders just to serve the Lord wherever he wants them. May somebody maybe feel that maybe they ought to be a teacher or that bus captain or just serve what they're offering themselves wherever the Lord wants them. You're glad to help them, Lord. You show them what to do. Maybe there's some poor person, lost person this morning. They don't have that joy of knowing if they die, they'd go to heaven. Lord, help them to come today. Settle this thing. Just humble himself before God, and he will lift them up. He said he would. He'd save them this morning. Have your way in this invitation. Let's heads bowed and eyes closed. Just stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's stand, please. Let's sing, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And you who raised your hand, why don't you come down? I'll leave and come down there, and we'll have people to pray with you and help you. If you need to be saved, or if you want to just come and surrender to the Lord and let the Lord help you in this, no matter what to do with your life, just obey the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's just sing it. You come on, right? Everyone who raised your hand, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, I'd come on. I wouldn't refuse the call of God. Come on, I'm going to be standing right down here. Come on down.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever
come on.
Trust him.
Come on right now. If God's speaking to your heart.
Live, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee.
Others of you, come on. Let the Lord have his way. If the Holy Spirit's speaking, I'd come. It's a dangerous thing when God's speaking. Oh, I'd come, my friend. If you're not sure you're saved, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. Come on. Come on, let's sing. Come on, Doug. Let's go. If the Lord's speaking, come on. We're going to give you time. We're not going to elongate this thing, but we'll give you time. Come on.
Lord, I give myself to thee. Let me feel the Holy Spirit.
But some lady, Charlotte, you can come down and pray this girl.
I surrender all. to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Oh, listen, don't say no to the call of God. We're going to sing another verse or two. We'll be through. Come on. If you're coming, come on right now. I'd come on right now if you need to come to this altar. If God's prompting you by His Spirit to come, won't you come?
Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
But again, the Lord can help us. I'm glad He can help us. As we go down through life, we're just about through. We won't rush this thing. Give these people time.
Well, obviously, it's a great blessing this morning, and here Preacher Lashley preached once again for us. Great truths, and if we'll surrender, God will do the rest, and we can know His presence and His power. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Hope to see you back here again tonight. Larry Trent, would you close us in prayer, please, sir?